And obviously, it has its flaws because it is a kid show, and they can't decapitate people on TV.
Whatever.
In a kid show, we get it. Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Gabe.
And we are the Cool Snack Store.
We'll always stay today. If you think we can, we'll always find a way. We are the Ghouls Next Door, a media literacy show from a horror lens where we explore the real life, historical, and dramatic reasonings behind our cinematic fears or cartoons. Cinematic cartoon fears.
That transition, though, Gabe, so smooth.
Thank you. You clods. We are covering Steven Universe, including the movie and future, because there's so much to unpack during our The Kids Are All Right series. Steven Universe is definitely one of my favorite, like, not just cartoons, but like film, like shows of all time for a variety of reasons, which we're going to unpack. I think it comes up a lot and just like an example of how to like educate, empower an audience and do it in a way that's not like annoying. Yes, like some people like hate being force-fed certain things, but Steven is such a fun show that it's almost like, oh wait, I'm learning something, I'm feeling something all of a sudden, and oh, we all have to unpack this thing that's happening.
Yeah, it's doing a bunch, but it's also like, you thought the kids were all right, they're not all right, especially in Steven Universe. Well, like Connie's pretty well adjusted, but like she doesn't have a self-acceptance journey, but like the other children, Steven specifically, oh my god, the neglect, it's a fun time.
Trauma. It's just, it is a lot, like everyone, everyone's got stuff to unpack, and they do. It's one of those shows I feel like really dives into the peripheral characters in a interesting way, in a way that doesn't feel like they're being neglected or, you know, looked over. And it's something I just really appreciate.
Yeah, you get like well-rounded and well-thought-out characters for like almost every character they show. They don't just like show somebody for no reason, you know? Like they get their own little highlight upon them at some point throughout the show, which is dope.
Yeah. It's also interesting because it's like when we think of anime, Steven Universe, like Steven is very on par with those newer like anime heroes that we were saying, where it's coming from a place of care and they just want to help people instead of like punch the best. And that's like how it works. And then also unlike
problems away.
And then unlike anime where sometimes it goes for so long and the storyline gets a little muddied, this had like a concrete story that it was going through and then achieved in the end in a way that wasn't like super upsetting.
Like I don't think it wasn't like the unfortunate Game of Thrones, like you were happy with the ending, you're like, oh wow, everyone got their closure, everyone's like doing okay. we feel okay about this. This makes me think like it's like literally like your 20 something year old self is talking to like middle school you, and it's like, you're gonna be okay. It's like that. Because you get to see the characters like grow up more.
Well, because like, they have the movie, which like it shows that things are not solved at the end of Steven Universe. So then we also have Steven Universe future, because it's like, what happens next? What's going on?
Oh,
now?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like the Steven Universe future, you end with like a, oh, okay, everyone is okay for the most
part. We're gonna be okay. And that's, I really appreciate that. For folks who are tuning in and watching us, we are dressed as two awesome characters. I'm dressed as Peridot, and Kat is Lapis Lazuli.
It's true.
So I will be, you know, in my section, really diving into the different gems. So if you have not watched Steven Universe, I'm trying my best to explain. It's a children's show, so it's wacky. It's also like animated, so it's got some crazy things going on. And Kat is going to dive into Steven himself and then just overall trauma of the show, which is very important. Very trauma. Covered to the end. Everybody's got trauma and it's okay.
Yeah. Because you got to look at it. You got to look at it and you got to face it. It's like all the corrupted gems. You got to like heal from what we thought was irreversible damage. Like you just got to work a little harder to help everybody. It's like a lot. It's a lot to unpack. It was a great show.
Yeah. It's such a good show. Highly recommend. But why don't we dive in? All right. So Steven Universe, we're going to cover, like I said, the original series, future, as well as I'm going to touch on a plot point in the film because it was pretty important for a big piece of my section where I get to unload a lot of my angst for certain characters. Certain like hate watching times for me when it came to Steven Universe. But Steven Universe, the original series from 2013 to 2019 was about a team of intergalactic warriors fights to protect the Earth. But the combination of three highly trained beings and one quirky young boy leaves the team struggling to overcome the dangerous scenarios that are put in front of them. And it's created by Rebecca Sugar. And in Steven Universe Future, which was from 2019 to 2020, tying up the ending there, and it features a big time jump. The series focuses on the aftermath of the events of Steven Universe, where humans and gems coexist in harmony after the end of the war between the crystal gems and homeworld. Also, Rebecca Sugar. Steven Universe is a phenomenal show covering many issues and experiences while promoting compassion, growth, and freedom of expression. The show begins as a very much a children's show with this main character and lovable boy Steven, who is up to silly antics in his small town. Steven Universe definitely has a lot of like kid filler episodes, but it's still like charming, and you're invested in these characters, and even when they're having like a good day, you're like, oh good, they're just doing something silly. But as the show progresses, the world is built upon and characters are given opportunities to grow into themselves, and the show becomes something more than just a children's show. I have laughed, I have cried, and I have felt inspired while watching Steven Universe. And throughout the 7 years of the show's run, it explored identity, queer love, capitalism, climate change, disabilities, grief, trauma, and more. ending. And each character in the show is exploring their own path towards self-love and acceptance. So I plan to discuss each gem's specific journey, try to summarize it a little bit, so that you can see how each one of them represented very specific journeys that someone could relate to and find their own love. All right, so just to give a synopsis, my attempt at explaining what happens in Steven Universe, because it is a crazy world. It is a really weird situation. So just bear with me, and hopefully it makes sense for non-watchers, but I do think anyone who's seen it will really appreciate it. But Steven Universe is a mixed boy living in Beach City with his family, and Steven is part human and part gem. That's where the mix part comes in. But gems are an alien race of femme-presenting humanoids who live on a distant planet and have a bunch of colonies because they're colonizers. Gems belong to a hierarchical caste society where they are created to perform special duties, specific duties for what they were born into. That's their whole thing. They are expected to perform those duties required of them depending on their gem identity. So for example, rubies protect. They're like bodyguards. Similar to Quartz, who are also bodyguards, but more of like a military force. They're bigger and stronger. Pearls are designed to pamper and care for the ruling class, the diamonds. Steven's mom was one of these gems, a rose quartz, who now he is inheriting this. That's why he is mixed in that way. Yeah. However, she is unlike the homeworld gems and instead was a rebellion leader for a group called the Crystal Gems, who fought against the oppressive regime of the homeworld to protect planet Earth from colonization and environmental destruction, as well as fight for their right to simply exist in the unique ways that they do. Yes, this is a children's show. Like, writing this, I was like, this sounds absolutely insane. Like, the oppressive regime. It literally is that. And it's a cast.
Yeah, it's like pretty spot on for it, like, being a children's show too. Like, it's surprising how deep they get. Which is like subtle. Part of its benefit. It's not subtle at all.
But it's like fun. It still is very much a kid show. It's like colonialization for children. The gems have special abilities that correspond to their gems, like their species, I guess. But further, the crystal gems have their own unique weapons and powers used to protect the earth, each other, and ultimately their way of life. Because it is in opposition to what the diamonds have been instilling in all the other gems. A unique ability that gems have is to join together to become something bigger through the act of fusion. That's what they call it, like Dragon Ball. On Homeworld, you may see several rubies fused together to form a larger ruby. This can also be seen with a topaz. They just become a bigger version of what they are. However, though we do know that fusion exists for homeworld gems, they never fuse with a different gem class. That's not allowed. It's segregation. And the crystal gems, however, can be seen fusing together to become something not only stronger and bigger than the whole homeworld gems, but something altogether new. So they don't just become a bigger version, a stronger version of the gem they are. They are combining two different gems to become something totally different. And this new being is made with a distinct personality. It tends to be a combination of the traits exhibited in the gems who are fusing, like highlighted points of them. And they have a new look, name, and voice. For example, Amethyst and Pearl make Opal, who is a tall, giant woman of elegance. And as Amethyst describes her to Steven, she's an ultra-powerful, stone-cold Betty. That part's me. And she's, like, kind of tall. That part's Pearl. Or Sugalite, who's a fusion between Amethyst and Garnet, who is a strong rock star voiced by Nicki Minaj.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's so funny.
And they're Sugalites are there for, like, just an episode, and then in, like, at the end, or maybe, yeah, I think it's at the end, there's a part where they're getting all the different like fusions together, and they make a reference, like, do we still have to pay her? Like, it's like kind of off. I don't remember why, but I just remember one of the gems mentions that, like, do we still have to pay her? And she just had one line. They're like, yeah, you have to pay Nicki Minaj. But even Steven learns to fuse and becomes uniquely power gems with the crystal gems, but unlike the crystal gems, he can also fuse with his best friend Connie, who's a human, to become Stevani, who's half human, half gem, non-binary person, who, just like Connie and Steven, are working through growing pains to discover who they are. So it's just very important. The reason why I wanted to bring up fusion, because that's going to come up, is that generally on Homeworld, it is the same gems becoming bigger. And that's, like, normal. For crystal gems, it's different gems, and they become someone new. And there's a trust and this representation of, like, healthy relationships that are important when it comes to fusing. There's a consent portion of it. There's teamwork. There's just, like, you allowing this other person to have a part of you. And that becomes a point of contention for a lot of them in different ways, and is a link to a very specific trauma for a character later. So Steven's mom, Rose, is not in the show because she has done something completely unexpected. She fell in love with a human. To create Steven, she had to give up her existence because no one really knows how you make a half gem baby, especially because the way that gems are made, it's not like the birds and the bees that we have. And Steven sports his mother's gemstone is often referred to as her by any of the homeworld gems because they do not understand that he's something new. They just think it's her with a new look because they can change their look often. The first season of Steven Universe is about Steven beginning to unpack the complexities of his mother's existence, but more than that, separating himself from her legacy to become his own person. And he has to ask himself, like, how much of himself is her and how much of her debt should he shoulder? And that's like what he's unpacking the entire season, but we're introduced to it in season one. The crystal gems that have not been wiped out by Homeworld are now Steven's found family, along with his father, Greg Universe. And we learned throughout the series, as we get to know the histories of the crystal gems, that they are each something truly special. And beyond saving the planet from being robbed of its natural resources for gem production, the crystal gems are themselves an act of rebellion, purely for existing. So each one of them represents some difference between the difference from the norm of the Homeworld colonies. So let's get into the crystal gems and what each one of their journeys is. And we try to be fast. It would take like hours to cover everything there is to know about Steven Universe. So bear with us.
I feel like you'd have to like write a thesis or like do a video series, just every single book. Piece of it. Yeah.
So here's a little bit about each of the crystal gems. Though there's so many other characters that we could cover as well, even just the humans themselves have their own journeys, but I just wanted to highlight some of the specific ones. And this is by no means the extent of what they go through and why and how. It's just like a little teaser. So Pearl is a mother figure for Steven, and unlike any Pearl on her homeworld, Pearls are usually delicate and subservient, catering to the needs of their diamond. Whenever we see other Pearls, they're kind of like dainty and just like don't have their own thoughts in their head or aren't allowed to have those. However, this Pearl is an elegant fighter and tactical genius. She protects the family and serves as the right hand of the leader Rose during the war. And Pearl's journey is one of self-love and reconciling unrequited love, because she works to accept the strength in her and confront the stereotypes that others make on her based on her gem identity. But she's also very much in love with Steven's mother, Rose, and struggles with what Steven's existence means for Rose's love for Greg. And so she clearly, Rose had some affection towards Greg enough to create a whole being with him. And she loves Rose. It's like, she's not even allowed to do that. So, all gems are femme presenting. So I'd say the queerness of her love is not exactly, it's not something that's struggled against, but accepted, because they're all femme. Mm-hmm. The issue comes from her loving a gem unlike her own, and just kind of stepping out of her lane. Because Rose is like, you know, the leader, like, who are you? Moving on. Amethyst is a stout and spunky gem who can shapeshift and is much like an unruly sibling to Steven. However, amethysts, like other quartz, are designed to be large, strong protectors. Amethysts, the character's kindergarten, which is where gems are made, they're made in the ground, which is how the resources are depleted from planets, because they're used to make the gems. Amethyst, the character's kindergarten, was abandoned, leaving her to be born significantly later and looking very different from other amethysts. Amethyst struggles with her identity, having been born different and further raised exclusively here on Earth, never having seen the homeworld. Like, she doesn't even know she should look different or that others look different. And so that's like a journey for her to figure out what that means. And she's wrestling with her own identity and finding her place in the crystal gems and feeling worthy of love, because she also wasn't there during the war and didn't really know Rose as deeply as the other crystal gems. And so, and she's also young. She's a baby until Steven showed up. So she's got a lot to work through. And had she been born into the homeworld colonies, she'd have been tossed aside, hunted, or even destroyed for being different. They shatter gems, which is ultimately, that's it, you're dead, if they're different, because then they can't do what they're supposed to do, which sounds an awful lot like some really terrifying historical events. So, not subtle. Next is Garnet, who is a tall, strong, and level-headed mother figure for Steven. And where Pearl can be a bit of a helicopter parent, Garnet is calm, cool, and collected, allowing Steven to explore the world around him, but always watching from afar in case she is needed for support. She's such a great mom. Pearl's also a really great mom. they just have like different mom styles, and I love that for them. It is revealed later in the series that Garnet is a very special gem, because Garnet is a fusion all the time. So I explained what fusions were before. So Garnet is comprised of two gems in love, Ruby and Sapphire, who were connected in a fateful event during the wars. And these two gems have fused to become the powerful and loving Garnet. And her fusion of two different gems makes her an outsider to the homeworld gems, some even calling her an abomination. They say terrible things about her just because she is comprised of two different gems instead of just what, like, rubies make big rubies and only mix with other rubies. She's an interracial, couple, and she gets a lot of hate for that. And what I really love is that Garnet is the embodiment of love, and through the crystal gems, she learned to accept herself and the love her two gems feel for one another, and what it means to be this one being that is comprised of two beings. It's a, like, identity is so complex, and she's just that. And as the show progresses, homeworld gems become aware of the existence of the crystal gems, and there are other gems that come to Earth to investigate. And though each one finds themselves affected by the freedom and new understanding of themselves when interacting with the crystal gems, so they come here to, like, fight them, and then they're like, oh wait, you could live a different way.
Yeah, like, this seems pretty brave, though. Like, maybe we shouldn't fight. Maybe we should all just be best friends and live here together. Yeah.
Like, why are we mad? Because this doesn't seem... Like, you told me this is wrong, but it doesn't look wrong. It actually looks fun and lovely.
It looks, like, great. Yeah.
So, two of the later members of the Crystal Gems, Peridot and Lapis Lazuli, are tasked with unpacking their trauma alongside the founding crystal gems, who, though still healing, have had much more time to discover themselves. And so we do get to see a more raw exploration of their trauma, similar to Steven's, because he's working through it through the show. But the other ones kind of have already been, like, especially Garnet. Like, Garnet's good. She's solid.
Yeah.
Pearl's got some stuff that she's working through. Amethyst 100% starts to have to unpack some of those things, but had already kind of built up a resolve for it. Peridot and Lapis, super new, and we get to see not only them in the aftermath of trauma, but in the midst of it. So it's pretty affecting. Peridot's, which, again, if you're watching, is what I'm dressed as, are technologically savvy gems with long limbs and similar powers to the other gems, including fusion and manifesting weapons. However, the Peridot we meet in the show is revealed to be wearing limb enhancers and has no powers, overcompensating for what you can to look like what Peridots are supposed to look like. And the Crystal Gems Peridot was born on a planet that had minimal resources because of their environmental disasters and colonialization. When they were trying to create new gems, it resulted in them being created incompletely. And so she's tiny. She's a little one. Yeah. She's a spunky little thing. And as Peridot interacts with these earthly gems, she slowly begins to accept herself and no longer relies on those limb enhancers. But she also understands she's incredibly intelligent and discovers a small spark of power within herself. And her arc is really quite sweet. And it's one of, like, you know, breaking from the mold and stuff, like, and not being subservient and, you know, fighting back and, like, feeling empowered in that. Like, I can call you a Claude. I called Yellow Diamond a Claude to her face. just like, also, like, when she stops using the limb enhancers, it really was a emotional thing for her, because it's her accepting that she is different and it's not what she's been told is the right way to look. And when she starts being herself and being little, it's like she's cool with it. But even more impressive is her relationship with fellow homeworld gem Lapis, who she is forced to cohabitate with and later becomes pretty much best friends, definitely partners in life. And she learns compassion, patience, and even how to be funny. Though that is is a fun time, because when she first starts doing jokes, she just becomes mean. And I was like, that is kind of like what like comedy was for a long time. Just be mean.
Why are you mad? Because I said it's supposed to be
It's just
funny.
A joke. I don't get it. But then she like really feels bad. Like when she hurts like Anna's feeling, she's like immediately about trying to listen and understand, because she herself had to like work through how she fits out here. So she's like, okay, I get it. This is hard. What can I do? I just want to make sure I'm helping. So the next is Lapis Lazuli, who is a truly complicated and traumatized gem who was used by the gems in power as a tool. They were trying to use her as a spy during the gem war, and she was trapped in a mirror and used as this weapon, but then Lapis's mirror was cracked during the war and it sealed her within the glass tomb until Steven accidentally heals and releases her. He was just like, this mirror is funny, and now she's this person out, and she harbors resentment towards those who used her, but also those who didn't release her, because she's just been in there, and she's like, why didn't you save me? Like, why did you give up so quickly? And she doesn't know any of the things that occurred. All she knows is suffering. And later she is forced to fuse with a very harmful gem, Jasper. They're very aggressive. I saw this like little article about how Jasper might also represent like religious brainwashing. And I was Jasper definitely gives that vibe where they, she, you know, is a servant of her diamond, who's kind of like her god, and anybody telling her that shouldn't be the way it's supposed to be is just, that's not going to happen. But she's very aggressive. And this fusion, and like as I explained before, like fusion like should be a point of consent. It should be something that is beneficial for both people. There has to be like an understanding between them, and that is explored early on in the series when there was like some issues with it being used improperly between Pearl and Garnet. So when we see Lapis being fused with Jasper, it is really upsetting and very clearly abusive and traumatizing for Lapis, who, having just escaped the mirror, is now once again chained against her will, quite literally. So she later chooses to stay in this abusive relationship with the intent of keeping Jasper from hurting others. And there isn't any blaming or shaming of her as a victim and the act, though troubling, is heroic in some ways, because it's a complex thing when we're exploring abusive relationships and the act of staying in those, because it's so easy to dub that as weakness. But her complex relationship with Jasper and her own seeking validation and her own strength is super like valid and real. There's this like later scene in the series where she encounters Jasper again after having been freed from the fusion and is like working on healing. Like she's trying to reconnect with water because she's like a water-based gem, and she just has this complicated history with the water because she was just stuck with someone she shouldn't be in an abusive relationship in. So she's trying to figure out how to exist with water, and she sees Jasper, and she has this kind of, you know, a conversation, this is a kind of aggressive conversation, but she explains, I liked taking everything out on you. I needed you. I hated you. And it really shows the complexity of being in abusive relationships where it comes this like codependency, the harm that she was subjected to, and the lack of compassion from anyone in her life made her vulnerable and distrusting to other people and other gems. Like she has been let down and all the time, every single time. Yeah. And so it's really, really hard for her, more than all the other gems, to allow herself to trust. And she has the hardest time adjusting to Earth and trusting the crystal gems because of that. And she harbors so much resentment that she cannot accept an easy life because she's like stuck in her fight or flight response and constantly seeking retribution for her treatment. So it's like, I can't sit and enjoy my life on this farm because my body is still like panicking because at any moment it could be gone. What life has taught me is that at any moment anything could go wrong and I'm not allowed to be happy. And that really affects her growth, but her relationship with Peridot and Steven, through that she slowly allows herself to feel joy and begins to express herself through art, which she calls Morbs. Because she's so cute.
I love Morbs.
Because it's still a kid's show. Like, it's so crazy. Her arc is really intense, whereas all the other ones are, like, subtle. Hers is very obviously abuse, and the pain that she has to endure is really raw in the show. And I think it's quite... And then also later... in the future she has like an interaction with other lapis lazulis and there's like that kind of shows how she was learning and how she's trying to influence these lapis lazulis and that struggle. And then also there's a moment where there's a ruby who is living on their farm and is just like, oh, everything's wonderful, I love it here, and lapis is like, that's not right. Lapis is like,
you should be having a harder time. It's not easy to get used to stuff.
Am I wrong? Like, it's like, is something wrong with me that it took me this long to do that? And it's like, totally, that's not, first of all, it's not the case. It's revealed that. But also, like, everyone heals differently and has their own things that they have to work through. And she learns that because, like, even Peridot, like, grew differently, you know, and more like she got into it a lot easier. But the Crystal Gems are a beautiful family of misfits who have broken from the molds and in simply existing are rebelling. And throughout the show, we see many other gems struggling to exist in the oppressive world the diamonds created. That's the top of the class there. And including the off-color gems that Steven finds on Homeworld much, much later in the series. These gems feature physical abnormalities and even some intense fusions, and they have been deemed defective and off-color because it's all very colored dividing because they're the name of the gems. Anyway, by Homeworld's strict standards and caste system. And that was a really interesting episode because you saw how, if the crystal gems weren't on Earth, how they would have been hunted and possibly shattered simply for existing. Yeah. Like, it becomes that much more real how dangerous it is for them to just exist the way that they are. Yeah. Which is like normal. Like, they're just existing. Like, Amethyst, done. She would not be at all. Later in Steven Universe future, gems who've been freed from the cruel diamond hierarchical society struggle to find their place in society, relearning how to attribute their worth into something other than the job they were born to complete. That's all they were. It's like, you were created to do this task. If you can't do that task anymore, you're worthless. It's very capitalist. And instead, they are here and they're like, what do? I pursue things that just bring me happiness? That doesn't make any sense. That's not allowed. And it's a very fun tying up of what they do. But in future, when they are trying to find them new jobs, Amethyst, in explaining to Steven how she was helping each of the Homeworld gems readjust and put their readjust their healing journeys, she says, everyone here has their own weird history and they should each get to choose how they feel about it, which is the whole thesis of the show. Everyone's got stuff. Everyone's got trauma. And it's up to you to, it's not your fault the trauma happened to you, right? We say that all the time. But it is your responsibility to grow and heal from it. And that is what they're doing. This all brings me to a part of Steven Universe that I don't quite agree with, which is the redemption of the diamonds and Steven's mother, Rose. Because just the existed, like, how much work and trauma they had to go through to love themselves and just be allowed to live. I just can't. So here there be spoilers. There's big spoilers in my section. So I'm going to try to keep it concise. even in those little bits, there were some spoilers, like the whole thing with Garnet, but that's like episode 5 or something. I try to shy away.
My section is also filled with spoilers, so just so you know, it's spoilers.
Got it. Spoilers from here on out. Yeah. So I did try to shy away from big plot points and big reveals. So if you do not want to be spoiled for the end of Steven Universe or the movie, to go watch the stuff and then come back and watch the rest of our show.
Yeah.
So Steven is a kind soul who, having been raised by beings of love and freedom, brings this unique outlook to the homeworld to confront the diamonds. And by this time, it had been revealed that Steven's mom, Rose Quartz, is in fact not a quartz at all, but a diamond. Which, remember, is the ruling class that makes everyone do what they tell them to do and for why, and will shatter you if you don't. So
yeah,
evil. Yes, like straight up, there's no reason either. Like, and I get it because it's a kid's show, it's not like we can explain. But like,
yeah.
Anyway, the diamonds are the ruling class of all the gems, and it's comprised of 4 beings, white, yellow, blue, and pink. Pink is gone, just was murdered, at some point revealed, murdered by Rose Quartz, but now is revealed is actually Rose Quartz was Pink Diamond. Yeah, you got it, everyone. Cool. So Rose, who is actually Pink Diamond, was the youngest of this family and was given Earth as her first colony. She's a colonizer. Okay. And it is through her boredom that she finds herself on Earth, where she quickly falls in love, quotations, with the gems she's created, but also the Earth itself, because it is just so fascinating. And she attempts to convince the diamonds to leave Earth alone, but after being denied this, like once, she stages her own death at the hands of a Rose Quartz, which is herself. Right. And I do not like Rose, if you couldn't tell from my voice and maybe the faces I was making. It's not subtle. The entire time I would watch, and just knowing who she was, like when my rewatch, whenever she popped up for like Steven to have a memory, I was like, like mocking her. I was like, it's all fake. It feels fake when you know. When you know, it ruins everything. Like, she's never, like, I've never seen her as a mom. Anyway, so I don't like
sucked.
It sucks. Her fascination with Earth beings and even the different gems, the crystal gems, always felt like a prince playing at pauper, like belittling them. Like, they're fascinating because, like, you live in a world where it's not life or death. Like, you made it life or death for you. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it never would have been. Like, you literally had to change what you look like so that you could feel danger. So whatever.
Yeah.
Her decision.
Like appropriation. Yeah. Just like, I don't feel literally any of the, like, the bad parts of it. So like, it's just fun for me. So fascinating and fun and quirky. Let me just like be this.
Yeah. It is appropriation. But it's like all those like people who are like in the universities and they're head of the like black college association. And then it turns out they were never black. That's what Rose Quartz is. She was never Rose Quartz. She was a colonizer. Like, I can't. Yep. And like, never addressed that. Never confronted that. Never unpacked. Oh, no. So her decision to pretend to be a Rose Quartz instead of confronting her family results in many wars worth of gems dying or getting bubbled, trapping the gems in bubbles where they remain inert forever. Anyway, the bubbling or shattering of gems happens. Also, the, what is the word? Corrupting of gems happens during the war. And the bubbling is also including all the other real Rose Quartzes, which she never sets free later. So because she pretended to be a Rose Quartz, the diamonds are like, the Rose Quartz did it. So now, because we don't know which one it was, we just have to remove all of them. And the only reason they're not destroyed is because Blue is sad. But had this not been a kid's show, all of them would be dead.
Yeah.
Because by association, she would have killed an entire group of people because she's pretending to be them. Like, even more upsetting is the character Rose is revealed to be, the character that Rose is revealed to be in the Steven Universe movie. They really did a number. They were like, we're not pretending that she's anything good. We want everyone to know. Like, that's one thing that's like, they didn't, they were very true to her. And I think that was nice. I wish they could be a little more mean. They could be a little more honest, but it's a good show. But in the Steven Universe movie, we learn that Pink Diamond had a gem assigned to her to keep her entertained. It is a fun gem named Spinel, who resembles an old-timey cartoon character like Mickey Mouse, mixed with Jenny the Teenage Robot. Yep. That's what she looks like. She's fun, and she does, like, wacky stuff. She's like, hey, I'm Spinel. And when Pink Diamond, the spoiled little brat that she is, becomes bored and annoyed and tired of Spinel's humor, she challenges her to a game where she forces her to stay still on an abandoned garden planet to be forgotten forever. Gems don't die. Unless they're shattered, like they're forcibly murdered, right? So she's just living up there on an abandoned planet waiting for her best friend to come back, and Pink Diamond / Rose Quartz, Steven's mother, simply forgets about her.
Knows her impact too, like knows that she's gonna wait, and then just like doesn't care, like, because she doesn't think she's better than everyone.
She has, like, and like the... even if you're like, you argue that that was Pink Diamond, and Pink Diamond was like, you know, she hadn't woke yet, right? Still, Rose Quartz knows who she is. Like, she could have said something. But after Steven has fixed the diamonds, quotes, and convinced them to love, not oppress, Spinel catches this new version of Rose on a screen, which is Steven, and finally understands that she's been got. And Rose either simply forgot Spinel was up there, or worse, did not care. Those are the two options, and both of them are terrible. So this neglect is seen throughout the show with Rose as she puts the lives of the other gems in harm's way. And in Steven Universe Future, Steven is tasked with healing the physical crack in Pink's pearl. So remember, all the pearls are subservient to every diamond. And so he's tasked with trying to heal his mom's pearl, and while trying to fix her, they discover her physical ailment is the result of psychological trauma she faced at the hands of Pink, who we learn was susceptible to bouts of anger and abuse. And it is this kind of confliction between the pearl we know in the show, who had this love for Rose Quartz, not really knowing who Pink Diamond really was, and so you kind of have to reconcile who you knew and who she had been. And in a truly heartbreaking scene, Pink Pearl, or Volleyball as she's come to be known, explains, she didn't mean to hurt me. I just happened to get too close to her that time, which rings very true to any abuse victim. You often try to reason away. Everyone loved her so much. Like, it was your role to love her and to make her happy. So if you didn't, it's your fault because of the caste system and because she's evil. Rose also knows of Pearl's feelings for her. And instead of rejecting her flat out and just letting her live her life and heal, she uses that love to push her agenda forward. Straight up, she uses her love, and I will take no other analyses at this time. Even in her creating of Steven, it was like her love of Greg felt infantile, like a fascination with a puppy rather than a true love. Like, she's just always like, humans are so cool. Like, oh, humans, you're so weird. You're so exotic. It's very
cringe.
Yeah, this is exotic, you're so different. And then even in her creating of Steven, she is selfish. She's not ever considering that he would be left with her debt, shouldering her guilt and mistakes, and have to like efface all of the problems she had, because it's either that it didn't occur to her that she would be held responsible for her own actions, given that she's never had to do that before. She's always been immature and childish and just got away with anything, including murder. Worse, she did not care, which I think is really the answer. Like, it didn't occur to her, and she didn't care anyway. That's just who she is.
Like, accountability, what is that? They locked me in a room for a while.
Oh, and then I would cry. And then I'd be mad, which is like, totally valid. Being locked in a room, that is a form of abuse. It did suck. But it was not great. But you have to acknowledge you hurt a lot of people. You hurt so many people physically, emotionally, just entire societally less
man. Yeah, and you're just like, accountability, bye. That's not my problem. This is the child's problem. Let them deal with it.
I made a new being because isn't that so cool and fascinating? Every time she talked about humans, I wondered, it's like, it's gross. Yeah, it's like, it really is feeling like, like it was like a white person being like, oh, I love your culture. It's yeah. interesting. It's so different.
I think she was
like, that on purpose. Oh, I can't stand it. Anyway, even more upsetting is the redemption arc of the diamonds because it doesn't make any sense. Okay. It is never explained why they need to make gems the way that they do or why they need to deplete planets of their resources to do this. Like, because there's like, is there money? Because where, what is money? They don't have money. They just make gems to make gems to serve other gems to just be, they're the only force in the universe. What? It's really giving Monsters Inc. and Screams versus Laughter. Like, we don't need it. We have enough. Like, what? And the diamonds care for Pink because she's one of them. That's it. So they work to get Pink back, but they never truly learn that what they did and the way they were living was wrong. It's literally, this is a way you can get Pink back as if you play nice. So they do that.
They're like, stop murdering people. That's the exchange, you know?
And even still, they're like, but why? And it's like, right up until the end.
They don't care.
Like, my diamond comes and is like,
thanks too.
You want me to fix this? Okay, I get it. They can't be slaves.
That's a lot of work.
She like literally is like, okay, I get it. We can't use the word slaves anymore. Like, it's so absurd. They murdered and intentionally physically disfigured gems by way of corruption without a second thought. They are the bourgeoisie in their Versailles castle, leveraging gem bodies for their own amusement. I don't get what the point, like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the society is. So there's no explanation as to why the world needed to be this way or why. And I get that because it is a kid show, totally, right? But I just simply disagree with the ease at which the diamonds are redeemed and forgiven when they've been the biggest villain the entire show, right? Each of the gems' internalized trauma and self-hate can be tied directly back to the regime of the diamonds. And like, so... We can't just.
I guess they like couldn't guillotine them on a children's show. Or,
yes,
like,
exactly.
I don't know,
but I like, could still be mad about it. There's a lot of heavy
themes. I know there's like a lot of heavy themes though, so like maybe they could have.
Well, it's also like
we could have moved them and put them somewhere in the meantime. I guess
we could have bubble them, but I mean, I think the biggest thing was Steven, like when we talked about anime, the new anime boys, the shonen protagonists, and how they're healing people and meeting them with compassion and understanding instead of just punching them and trying to destroy them. Like there's the character of
Bismuth
has like a completely valid reason to be upset, and she makes this weapon because she's a wonderful blacksmith, makes a weapon to fight the oppressors. And it's also a big deal who she's voiced by and why, how she's depicted. She wants to fight against the oppressors. And instead of talking it out, Pink Diamond / Rose Quartz just bubbles her up and doesn't even tell her friends that she had to do that. And instead, Steven's like, no, we should actually talk about this. I don't want you to hurt people. And I get that you're hurt. And this is the way that you know to solve that issue. But that we can't do that here. Just that conversation solidifies that we cannot hurt the diamonds and we can't even bubble them because bubbling is bad. So we can't also be bad. Right. And I think that's complicated. I get it for kids. I totally get it for kids. Yeah. But I can still be mad about it. I could still wish that was a different time. You know, I get it. But I also think it's totally valid that Bismuth wanted to meet them with violence when violence is what they have always been met with. And it's completely valid for that. And I also think it's valid for me to want that as well. Even though it's a kid show, I get it. People are like, this is a kid show, you guys are talking about some really intense we're like, topple the systems of oppression, burn it down, corrupt them, show them what it's like. And I totally get it. That's all we want kids to know about, and instead they tell them a lot of other stuff. So overall, the show is a phenomenal piece of media, period, straight up. The animation's lovely. The characters are wonderful. It is diverse as heck. It is accepting and loving and just empowering and beautiful. And it'll make you cry. It'll make you laugh. Highly recommend, 10 out of 10, one of my favorite shows of all time, period, right? And despite being a kid's show, is one of the few shows that I confidently refer to when talking about unpacking trauma and self-identity, representation, queer love, and all of that in media. If you want a good representation of all of those things, it is this show. And yeah. It's still very much a kid's show, right? With silly antics and absurd characters, but even the human characters, we can see true growth and self-acceptance that I don't think we often get to see anywhere else. And for this show to exist and imprint these foundational messages of healing onto children is truly a gift. I would love if there's a comic book series of like Steven Universe that dives into the lore of the diamonds and why they have to do what they do. Like, I would love that because I just don't get it. For yeah, for adults, right? And like also like when we see those lapis lazuli and they're like destroying the planet, because that's what they're supposed to do. Right? Yeah. It's just like, but why? What is it? Yeah. Why do we have to do that? I just deplete resources. For what? Like money?
But then also they're like, you said we're free, right? Well, this is what we want to do.
Yeah. And it's like, but you can't destroy the planet. So, we have few rules.
Freedom, yes. It's very America. Freedom, yes. You also can't like cause active harm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry. You can't just be hurting people. When I love the show. I have intentionally bought like the DVD so that I can watch it without the internet. I'm working on getting like the movies and the future version. I got these books. I'm like very obsessed. It's a very good show. It just says a lot. It's doing a lot. It is amazing for representation. Gabe got into a lot of like why. It's just super great. And obviously it has its flaws because it is a kid show and they can't decapitate people on TV.
Whatever.
In a kid show, we get it. but there's just so much to say about Steven Universe. And as Gabe was joking, it's like we were texting each other. We're like, we need like 6 hours to unpack all this because, like, I want to individually write an essay about each character and like what they represent and like why they did what they did and etc. But we can't do that. We don't have
like
hours.
Evidence.
We have 30 minutes each, about like an hour, you know. But the show itself has done like a lot to highlight and teach about the impact of trauma on developing minds. That's going to be the bulk of what I talk about, as well as like self-acceptance, expression, identity, love. And on the other side, oppression, prejudice, war, and, you know, all those other really fun, heavy themes. But it makes it like
you always see in children shows.
Yeah. But it makes it like really understandable, like both for adults and kids. Like I will say, like my rewatching of it was totally different than my original watch, because I went into watching Future again with media analysis glasses on. It just was like so different because I was like paying attention to different stuff. Where like the first time I watched, I was like, this is just really emotional and great. But the second time, I was like, oh my god, this could mean this and then this. And this. So I'm gonna get into that. But there's major spoilers in my section, just so you know. I don't hesitate at all. And so if you, as Gabe said, don't watch my section if you haven't seen the show. Cool. So yeah, it just paved the way for a lot of other shows too, like in terms of LGBTQIA representation. Like it's really paved the way for other shows to reach more audiences because of like how widely loved Steven Universe was. And Steven Universe Future takes the original show even further. So like you get a lot of like Steven Universe, the original is still pretty spot on, but you get like a lot more unpacked and like more on the nose in Steven Universe Future. I think more because of like the time that it existed in. Where like 2013, it was a different time in media than it was in 2019, 2020. So like you actually get like a non-binary character like outwardly stated and stuff like that, which you didn't really get stated in the original show. So
Stephanie is they them.
Do they blatantly say that in the show? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stephanie even says like we aren't, like they explore that very, very specifically.
Okay,
and that's
well,
pretty
I
early
misremember
on.
It then. I misremember
it's okay.
That then. I read an article.
It's still cool. There. It's still cool.
It's cool. Yeah. But I don't remember the parts of it there. But yeah, so like what it does for like just having like a really like the original is like giving you so much information and fun, but also like heavy stuff. And Future is like what happens after all of that happened. And you're just sitting there like, wow, we just got to keep living now. how we do that. And that's like a lot of what it explores. And what I'm going to unpack is specifically Steven and like how they're dealing with the fact that one, their parent left them with so much trauma and the world with so much trauma. And like a lot of the understanding of Gems very much makes Steven feel like that is his responsibility. And in some ways it very much is. And in other ways, it's like, this is just a child. He's literally 16 in future, like having to deal with just some really adult stuff. So he himself has experienced a lot of neglect and trauma. Like he does have very wonderful parental caregivers in the form of the Gems, but like he has also been failed on his human half in many, many ways. And I'm going to really get into that specifically in that, like in his mixed identity, everyone really focuses on the fact that he's a Gem and the fact that he is human, but like they don't take care of the human part of him.
They forget to do that a lot.
Yeah. And that's like, that's where I was like, if you've been watching the Ghouls, you'll know I'm very passionate about this particular topic for no reason. Definitely not projecting, but childhood trauma is something that I'm very passionate about. I like get real upset when people neglect their kids for no reason. Anyway, yeah, throughout the original show, we see a very young, impressionable Steven struggling to live up to the very troubled legacy of his mother. Steven, although very much still a young child, is forced to face like very adult problems, responsibility, and like faces like honestly like a lack of understanding of who he really is from everyone around him, in that like the Gems are unfamiliar with what it means to be human. And they, for the first part of the show, really see Steven because they don't understand that like Rose Quartz is like part He's human gone. Now, you know what I mean? Like that they're gone, yeah. Like they're not Steven anymore. And they don't understand, they're thinking they're just playing a game, like that eventually, like Pearl at least is like, eventually she'll come back. And it's a weird game you're playing, Rose, but like, I know you love me and you're gonna come back to me. And it's like, no, that's a human child who's mixed, is also Gem, but is like still a baby. And you need to raise this baby. And it takes them like a while to get there. And then we also see like Greg Universe defer Steven's care almost entirely to the Crystal Gems because he's like, it seems like a lot of work to figure this out. And you guys know. So we're just going to totally.
There's three of you and one of me. So
yeah, you got it. So this whole ash child has never been to the doctor, a dentist, school. Like, he doesn't know none of the things that you need to like make sure a baby's okay. None of those things. So that, in my opinion, is what forced Steven, like in his childhood, to basically neglect his own needs because his human needs were not honored, validated, or taken care of. It kind of forced him like to have this neglect for himself, his own emotions at the expense of himself, and like never really establishing like a sense of who he was outside of like this connection to how others saw him as well. And he talks about this like in future where he's like, I have been so spent most of my life just trying to like live up to like the legacy my mom left and also like prove I'm not her, but also like deal with the fact that she's like done so much harm that like I don't know who I am.
And he also had to raise himself. Like he's the one who's like making himself meals and like making sure he's got like he takes care of himself since the beginning.
So yeah, they just neglect the heck out of him. And it's like really sad because he gets to like be an adult. Well, he's not an adult, he's 16, but he gets to be like a teenager and he's like experienced just really hard stuff that like is not standard for the human experience or the Gem experience, honestly. Like it just seems like he's having a hard time. And like as I said, like it's really forced him to just like neglect his own needs and emotions and like force himself to like feel like he's obligated to be there for everybody else. And like he does that with love, you know, but that's like the main point where he's praised for and celebrated is like when he's being helpful to other people, doing heroic things, making people laugh. Like is the entire like way he gets attention is through like participating in the Gem stuff. Cause otherwise they like left him alone. As you said, Gabe, like he really had to raise himself. He had to feed himself. They didn't send him to school. They didn't take him to the doctor. Like he's just existing. And the only way that he could like feel like he had a family was if he went on Gem missions and like participated. So yeah, so much of what he really, like, what it teaches him later, that like what he really does need other people's help, that like his needs weren't met before, so everyone's going to fail him. Like people don't help him when he needs help. So when he actually really, 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 really does need help, like he did before, but like extra now, he doesn't feel like he deserves help because he wasn't given it when he was little. And also because he like feels like he needs to make up for the mistakes of his mother, which in like some ways, yes, some ways, no. But in Steven Universe Future, we see Steven really forced to grapple with what he's experienced in his life, both in his own childhood, but also like generationally. There are many episodes that like drive this home, but I'll talk through the ones that stood out to me most. Specifically, the most obvious for me is like the first time he ever goes to a doctor when he turns 16. It's called Growing Pains, where Steven at age 16 is taken to the doctor for the first time, and he's forced to face the damage that has been done to his mind and body. And this is where Connie's mom really lays out everything for Steven in a way that he can't run away from. And I like wrote it all out because I found it really frustrating when I was looking for this that they only showed the video and like some people aren't auditory learners. So I wrote it out on my blog so that if people want to read it, they can. But yeah, so essentially like he's in the doctor's office and Connie's mom's like, you have like gone through a lot, you know, but basically you've experienced miraculous recoveries, you're okay, but that doesn't change the fact that you've gone through a lot of trauma. Like, you've recovered physically, but have you recovered mentally? And Steven immediately is like, what's wrong with me? And then she's like, not wrong, like, you're okay. But adverse childhood experiences, or also known as childhood trauma, can have lasting impact on how your body responds to stress. This can affect your social, emotional, and physical development. The show says this, and this is like actual science. So you're seeing a show take on the position of like educating people about trauma, and that's like a super big deal. So she continues that like when humans are in crisis, the brain releases the hormone cortisol, which is true. Your heart races, your muscles tense. I wonder if your body is reacting to a gym equivalent of cortisol. Steven, do you remember anything bad about your childhood that has particularly stuck with you? And then you see Steven like talk about like season one.
Mm-hmm. Like his body being destroyed.
Yeah, so he's like, I guess I kind of freaked out when they canceled my favorite ice cream, and then I got attacked by a giant bug monster, and then I got trapped in a bubble and almost drowned. I lost control of my body and turned into a blob of cats. I almost turned so old I died. Amethyst almost died. Pearl did die. Garnet got destabilized right in front of me. I woke up with a black eye imprisoned on an alien spaceship, and then she's like, what are you saying to me? This is serious. Like, you're saying very traumatic things. And he's like, but that was just the early stuff. Because if you were watching seasons of Steven Universe, it's like a fun, quirky, like happy time. But like what Steven is experiencing is like legitimately not a fun, quirky, happy time. It is like super traumatic for a baby to go through that. So Connie's mom is like reacting to that. And just like the fact that like season one, there are five whole seasons. Like Steven almost dies so many times. In the show, and like that's not what a child,
even by friendly fire,
yeah,
like Amethyst almost like knocks him out
because they just don't get that he's human. It's like a whole thing. So Connie's mom continues like, I think these experiences have been subjecting your body to a harmful amount of stress, and that's affecting your ability to face new forms of stress in a healthy way. You've been dealing with genuine threats from such a young age. Your body is now responding to minor threats as if your life were in danger. And then Steven brings up something that was super real for trauma, is like, but why am I only swelling up now? Because in Steven Universe Future, everything's chill, like not literally, but like everything's calmed down. Everyone's like healing, it's better. And growing. It's better than it was. And he's like dealing with the fact that like his whole life has been war, chaos, and like awfulness. And he doesn't feel comfortable in the calm. It's kind of like when Lapis like first comes to Earth, like she's struggling with her identity in this place that feels like so like not safe because she's experienced all this trauma. Steven's experiencing this now because he's finally had to stop fighting. So Connie's mom says, stress is less harmful when we have people to trust to help us through it. Maybe you're losing your supportive relationships, or maybe you've had a recent experience that was particularly awful. And then Steven explodes into this pink blob of stress. And the fun thing that the show does is that we see like triggering, like being activated like PTSD and like as a trauma response physically manifest, which you don't always get, like when you're dealing, like a lot of people, when they're triggered, they won't have like a physical thing happen. Like it'll just be like they dissociate, or like they'll just be very stressed, or they'll need to like exit. But like Steven literally turns pink and his body starts growing, so you can't ignore it. And he's basically being triggered by the memory of Connie's rejection. So as I said, my section of spoilers filled. And Steven's dad bursts into the room, and his dad's like apologizing. And it gets me every single time, because Steven, in classic Steven form of placating and absolving the adults around him of their very real responsibility for caring for him, he like doesn't trust his dad to be there for him, because he's honestly actively neglected him his whole life. So he's like, I'm here, like let me talk to you. And he's like, when have you ever been here? But he doesn't say that. And then in like desperation, he says the line that like every single time I hear it makes me cry, because it's just so legit. Like literally I was watching it last night at like 1 a.m and I was just like, why do I so Steven says, my body is reacting like it's the end of the world. I think I've seen the world almost end so many times now that everything that goes wrong feels that extreme. I should be feeling so good these days. The earth is safe, it's era 3, but I'm swelling up over these third era problems. What do I do? How do I move on from the stuff I've gone through? How do I live life if it always feels like I'm about to die? Yeah, and if you're me, you're like, oh my god, how do I live life if I always feel like I'm about to die? But for serious, this episode teaches about a really real thing, which is the impact of adverse childhood experiences on your development, and the way that sometimes for treat your body and mind will struggle much more with the calm after the trauma than the trauma itself, or at least it'll feel that way. So like if you've been through a lot of trauma and you're like out of it, something you might say is, I used to be so good at dealing with stuff. This little things didn't used to bother me. I used to just deal with it. I used to be strong. What's wrong with me? Where the reality is, you were in fight or flight for so long that now that you're out of that, your body doesn't know how to act. It's still in a state of fight or flight. So essentially, calm can feel really uncomfortable when the bulk of your life has been chaos. And in a trauma class I took, although the research around it always says that, like, it's developing and changing. So like I took this in 2019, I want to say, this class. So some of this could have changed, but a lot of what they would talk about is that you don't really feel the impact of trauma until you're out of it. And especially like if your support system is disrupted. So like when you're out of trauma, because when you're like in fight or flight, your body is just in survival mode, it can feel like you're capable of a lot more, like in terms of like dealing with things. Like, you're just like going, you're like, I don't have feelings. I am survive. That is all I know how to do. It shuts down your like emotional responses as much as it can as a way to like make sure you get through it. So the teacher of the class I was in described it as a bear. So say like a bear visits you every day, and to survive, you're always like ready to fight or hide or escape from the bear. That bear visits every day and you're doing whatever you need to survive the bear. Now say that bear stops visiting, or a hunter gets it, the bear's gone. But you're so used to the bear visiting every day that your body is still ready to fight, hide, or escape from the bear. Or it knows there's like more than one bear in the world and the hunter didn't get all the bears. So you're ready for one day that you'll meet another bear and it'll come find you. That's kind of how our bodies respond to trauma. Yeah. In that, like, you're more used to trauma than calm, your body and mind are going to struggle with being outside of the trauma. It's going to make little things feel really big. It's like, for to speak from my own experience, like how someone dying, I was like, we got this. But then, like, my car had a flat tire. And I was like, sell the car. Why do we need a car? The world is ending. Where are we going from? You know, like a little thing that like shouldn't be the end of the world was the end of the world, and like a big thing that would like be totally reasonable to just like collapse during. I was like, this is fine, we just keep go. Your body like doesn't know how to regulate the stuff when the bulk of your life has been in this fight or flight response. And also, like, the main reason you go through the trauma, say a person in your life that you care about is no longer with you, that can reactivate a lot of those feelings because your protective factor is gone. So, like, when you're learning about trauma-informed practices, a lot of what they say is that if you have one protective factor, your ability to get through the trauma is significantly higher. And then if you were to lose, like, your support system, so, like, say Steven, he's dealing with, like, his friends going off, like, planning to go to college and planning to do this or that, or, like, breaking up, things are changing. Like, they're not used to, they want things to go back to the way that they were because that's how they got through all that really scary stuff. That's what made all that really scary and awful stuff feel okay. And then when everything starts changing and, like, Connie's planning to go to college and, like, everyone's trying to, like, move on, he's feels like he's losing his support system. So all those feelings that he never really had to deal with in an intense way are, like, bubbling up in this way that he can't ignore, because ultimately, like, it still hurts you, the trauma, it still impacts you. But, like, you need your support systems to essentially help you get through it. And when you start to lose those things, it can really reactivate those emotions, or just, like, really, like, have you react to big or small things like they're big things. So I could talk about trauma all day, genuinely, but if you would like to learn more about it, I highly recommend looking through the following resources, like, when you're in a good headspace, because, like, anything else, you do not want to look into, like, your own life and your own trauma if you're in a bad headspace, because it feels very doomsday clocky. It's like when you find out that the planet is dying and you're just like, I wasn't ready for that information. It was a Tuesday and I was already having a bad day. You want to wait till you're having, like, an okay day before you unpack your own personal trauma, as well as just, like, learn about it, because it really does impact, like, your mental health does impact your physical health, and that's something that they do unpack more in the show, that, like, sometimes you can be hurt and it's just inside, even though you, like, feel fine. So as I said, the following resources, something that they show in, like, every intro trauma class, but it is really good, is Nadine Burke Harris's How Childhood Trauma Affects Health Access or Affects Health Across a Lifetime. It really impacts, like, how these experiences can impact your physical health. There's also trainings you can take. There's, like, online classes as well as in-person ones with Lakeside trauma classes, as well as enhancing trauma awareness classes that they offer virtually. Or you can read the books that they gave us in the class, which is Life After Trauma, A Workbook for Healing, as well as the course book, Creating Sanctuary. Fun fact that so much research has started to develop around ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences is what it's short for, that they've recognized it with the CDC as a health concern. So that's positive for, like, people getting more access to mental health care. And, like, people taking, like, your mental health as seriously as your physical health, because ultimately if you neglect your mental health for too long, it's going to impact your physical health. So the CDC has finally recognized that as a problem. And if you really want to be stressed, you can take the ACE test, which is basically just evaluating your own life and being like, cool, how much has this damaged me? As I said, you really want to be in a good headspace for that, because if your number is really high, it feels very doomsday clock and it feels very hopeless. So you just really want to go into it, like, when you're in a good place, so that you feel like you can handle it, and also, like, make next steps and tackle the very real reality that, like, you know, bad things have happened and you have to deal with them to heal so that you don't perpetuate harm. So yeah, I recommend those things. I'm going to talk a little bit also about, like, how even after you've kind of dealt with the trauma, that sometimes, like, you get to have the fun of, like, if we're dealing with a systemic problem, like we have in Steven Universe and in America, that, like, harm happens without your direct choice because you are from an oppressor. Like, that is something that's also very real that impact in the show. So I'm going to get into that part of it now. So in rewatching it, as I said, with media analysis glasses on, it made the entire thing feel so much more impactful. I'd already watched it, like, many times. It's one of my favorite shows, as it is for Gabe. But in rewatching it, it, like, hit a lot harder than it did before. And it reinforced just how much I love it as a whole. Each episode was so intentional, especially in Steven Universe Future. I just felt like it was really trying to say stuff, and that was just cool. Specifically, the very important message that trauma and its impact is very real, as well as like how the systems the diamonds created do harm are not dismantled entirely when they step down from leadership. Like, as Gabe was saying, like, they really like let them off easy, and that's like really frustrating to watch. But also it's like you really still see that, like, even though they're technically not in power anymore, the systems of harm do continue, like in what the Lapis gems are doing on other planets, and like they're just keep mm-hmm. going. They're like, we still mm-hmm. destroy time. Or even in the episode of Volleyball that Gabe talked about briefly, in that like the damage is deeper than just one individual person. And I think like in understanding racism and like the systemic oppression is like super legit. mm-hmm. And he's saying it in a way that is like very clear. So in the episode Volleyball, where Steven is confronted with Pink Diamond's original pearl, seeking medical care / healing for the crack on their face, a crack that is revealed to be the fault of Pink Diamond. This episode does so much for impact over intent. Like, you hurt people, and that matters more than like whether or not you meant to. And how like the system that the Diamonds built, you can't use that system to heal. It like really sent the message like you need to dismantle the system entirely. You can't like fix it from within, because Steven's like, I just need a solution. Let's fix Volleyball, which isn't even her name. He just gave her a name. Let's fix Volleyball for this quick way, because I can't deal with what my mom did. In his defense, he is 16. Like, I can't deal with this. This is a lot. I can't do it. So we're just going to fix it at this thing, this machine that literally makes pearls and rejuvenates them and hurts them, like resets them so that they're not cells anymore and other gross things. So he's seeking like a simple solution, but trying to use like this tool of oppression to do healing, and they're not compatible. And he finds that out very fast. So Steven focuses on the word repair, discarding the fact that the shop has been used for harm. And the newly nicknamed Volleyball prepares for healing. And Steven says in a rushed way, soon we'll all be able to put this in the past behind us. We won't have to think about what my mom did ever again.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to think about the harm. I won't be responsible for this anymore. Won't that be great? He's not handling it great. So the machine scans Volleyball, and it says there's nothing the machine can do, because as Gabe was talking about, like, it's psychological. The injury is manifesting physically, but like it is inside of like it's mental damage that is, or like mental harm that has been done by Pink Diamond to like really breach their trust. And in a really eerie and uncomfortable way, Volleyball is like, I'm fine, don't worry about it. And then the crack gets bigger, and it is kind of like foreshadowing, honestly, like what happens later, because Steven's whole vibe is like, I'm fine, don't look at me, everything's fine, but like he's like bubbling and like turning into a monster. So as I said, we see like these two pearls dealing with the fact that they've both been like very harmed by Pink Diamond and Rose Quartz, and they just explaining, like, as Gabe said, like, they didn't mean to hurt me, it happened because I was too close. And then Steven just screams, it doesn't matter, I'm gonna fix it, which is like,
not the answer. It does matter.
It does matter. Like, what do you mean? And then we see Pearl start to get like upset, because like this different portrayal of the gem she loved, but also like Steven get very upset because he doesn't feel like he can deal with this. And he says, which is just super telling, I can't deal with one more horrible thing she did, okay? I don't want to hear about it. I don't even want to think about it. I just want to fix it. And it just felt like real on the nose. And that, like,
super valid.
Yeah, like, it was just super on the nose. And, like, if we're thinking of it from, like, the fact that, speaking for, like, myself about, like, the fact that we come from generations of oppressors, and you can't, like, it's hard to hear about it, but it's, the Pearl was literally just saying their experience.
Mm-hmm.
They were just
mm-hmm.
talking, like, existing. They were existing. And they were, like, they were just talking about what happened to them, like, the irreparable harm that has been done. And that was very triggering for him. It was very like white tears. And then like not realizing that like his emotional reaction would activate the system of harm that is this machine that they're trying to like heal with. And as we see this, like, kind of unpack, is like his dramatic outburst activates the system to basically be like, all right, you're mad, I'm going to destroy these pearls for you, because that's what this does. And as I said, like, Pearl's just existing, like, explaining the harm that happened. And they kind of, after he, like, realizes what he did, he tries to undo it, but isn't able to. And then Pearl and Volleyball, in, like, recognizing and, like, validating each other and their trauma, and recognizing that, like, they are not over what Pink Diamond did, and, like, saying, like, I'm not going to make excuses for her anymore. She didn't mean to, but she did hurt me, like, badly, and I was badly hurt, and we have to deal with that. And then Volleyball asked the other Pearl, like, how do we stop hurting? And in this such emotional scene, she's just like, I didn't. And they hug, and then they fuse, and then infusing and grouping together, they escape, freeing themselves, and then also, like, Steven from the situation, and they, like, dismantle the system of oppression. And I just wish that the diamonds got that a little bit. They destroyed in the process, and it just felt very spot on, and the, like, you can't use the system that harms to heal the damage that has been done. And for a kid show, that felt real, like, very good.
Yeah, it was just like, that's so valid. I'm glad you brought that up. Because, you know, I was looking at it purely from that just abuse point of view for Rose. But yeah, it's totally true that it, like, you can't, like, especially if the system is designed to harm, like, that's a whole thing, then it can't heal. It's designed to do the opposite, period.
Yeah. I just, like, I get it. Like, Steven's 16, he's dealing with a lot. Like, his mom did a lot of damage. And, like, he's young to be dealing with this right now. But it's also, like, recognizing, like, you can't just do the easy solution. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes bad things are going to happen. Sometimes you might need to murder the diamonds. I need to. That might not be the fun, nice way to do it. Sometimes you got to dismantle the system. So I just appreciated the children's show for instilling that.
Yeah, and I appreciate how it validated everyone's feelings, and in that, like, how Amethyst said, like, you all get to choose how you feel about it, and that's, like, evident in the way that, like, how Peridot experiences her, like, freedom from oppression versus Lapis's freedom from oppression versus Pearl versus Volleyball, Pearl versus Jasper. Like, every single one of them has their own personal journey, and they're all unique, but they also have this core issue relating back to the diamond. So it's just like, how are each of us adapting to a world where we have all acknowledged that it was a problem and now can make the moves to heal?
It's super interesting. I was blown away by Future, because I liked it the first time. I did, but, like, it just didn't hit as hard as it did the last time, yesterday, when I watched the entire
movie. And that's, like, for me, the movie was something that just, like, really confirmed, because I was like, okay, good. So I'm not the only one who knows she's a villain. Like, yeah, I'm not the only one. Like,
Diamond sucks.
Yeah, Pink Diamond sucks. Rose Quartz was awful. The other Rose Quartzes don't deserve that. And I think that even that interaction with him, in his, you know, pseudo siblings, the Rose Quartzes. Yeah, there's a lot. And I highly recommend you watch Steven Universe in its entirety. It is absolutely a kid show, so full warning on that. There are some really silly things that happen, but there's also there's a charm to it. It can be a comfort show that sneaks up on you and has you feeling things, and also empathizing, understanding, and meeting people with compassion, and kind of give, like, equipping you with these tools to be able to manage not only your own trauma or just pains of growing and existing in a world where other people are going to exist and do what they're going to do and impact you in these ways, but also how you can then impact other people in, like, from a place of care and understanding. And I think that's super powerful and not what you would expect from such an adorable little show like Steven Universe.
Yeah, it definitely flat out. Up on you. Like, it's such a heavy world that you're in, but it like makes it seem like so fun at the same time. Like it really achieves being a kid show with such heavy topics. And I just love it. I want to rewatch it again, honestly. I rewatched it
Yeah.
too. Now I just want to go back and rewatch the first one. I watched the movie this morning and I was like, I can watch it a million times and still enjoy it.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, super recommend. And you know, it isn't overtly horror, but there are some really horrific things that happen, including like the
Turns into
corruption
a
of
blob of cat.
gems, the blob. Yeah, he turns into a blob of cats. That was really scary. Him growing old was
Yeah.
terrifying. It was like an episode of Twilight Zone. It
Yeah.
was horrifying. The fusion inside the earth, like their whole exploration, that's
Oh my God, the
terrifying.
cluster, yeah.
Yeah. Or them being hunted, like the off colors being hunted by like the little survey bots coming at them to just literally unmake them
Go.
because they're different. Like,
When Lars, okay, we're already in Spoilerville. When Lars died, I was like,
Yes.
did they just murder that child on this children's show? And the
Yes.
answer is
Yeah.
yes, but they bring him back to life, so it's
He's
fine.
alive and he's pink
But like,
Lars
what
and
a
he
time
finds
that
himself.
was, like super traumatic and horrifying. Like,
So true. Yeah. It is rough. And I think it's funny. I really appreciate it in future how they literally just show you the scenes of season one of his body being injured. Because it's like when we watch like anime or other animation, because it's human, it's close to human, but it is animated, so it's not real. We can just like
yeah.
it doesn't affect us the same way as if we were to see a real human body endure that stress and trauma and violence.
Yeah.
So seeing them be like, no, actually, there's repercussions for the actions. It's like we don't get that in
Remember that
cartoon
fun
media.
time in the cartoon where all the silly antics happened? That was actually super traumatic for Steven. Look at it
Yeah.
all unfold with the sinister music. It's like they really set it up perfectly.
Yeah. It's like Gohan, that's Goku's
Oh my
son,
God,
right?
yeah. He gets
Like
thrown, he
he
gets literally yeeted at a mountain at age two, and they're like, why doesn't he
Yeah.
like to fight?
Yeah, or like he just needs a Dr. Maheshwaran to tell him that it's un okay to unpack the time where his dad gave the enemy a sensu bean so he could fight him better. Like,
Yo,
it's allowed
yes.
that you can acknowledge that your
Like, it's
dad
okay if you
really
want to just be a
sucks.
bug scientist. Like, go live your best life. It's your life was
Yeah.
hard.
That's a lot. Yeah, exactly. Want a rejection redemption arc for all the little boy heroes who
I
don't
love
get to
Gohan, poor
go through
baby.
that. So yes. So yeah, that is our episode about Steven Universe. It is definitely long because I knew it was going to be. It's impossible for it not to
We
be
could
this
have been
long. So
longer,
thank you
babe. We could
for
have just kept talking. We could
we
have
could have
gone
picked
on for
like so many
years.
episodes. Just picking out episodes, talking about Pearl, finding her identity, her like sexuality, and you know,
Start a Steven
learning to
Universe
like Gray, which is a whole, we should have a
podcast.
Steven Universe
Learning to like
podcast.
Greg. That's so real. I didn't like him till the Human Zoo episode. I'm not gonna lie.
The choosing,
The
who didn't choose in
choosening.
them?
Greg.
Garag. Yes.
Garag.
It is super silly. It's very cute. Highly recommend. So, definitely let us know what you think about Steven Universe. If there's another cartoon that you highly recommend. I mean, I feel like we should do She-Ra one day.
Oh, we
Things
gotta do
like that.
She-Ra. She-Ra,
But
Dan. There's so many.
yeah. And we were even going to do Adventure Time, but we cut it just because it's like it's deep as not deep. It's not Steven Universe deep.
Yeah.
Nothing
It's
is.
not Steven
So
Universe deep. Yeah.
yeah.
There's probably
So
more too. Like they keep making them. So like kids' shows
yeah.
that are like deep. So it's gonna keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And so next week we'll be closing out our Kids Are All Right series with a literal horror film. We're coming back and we'll talk about just like that fear you only feel as a young person, where the darkness in the world around us is so uncertain that we can fill it with
Yeah.
anything in our head. So, very excited for that. And definitely let us know how you feel about Steven Universe or what you thought about our analysis and suggestions for things. And don't get married.
Delete your kids, or your
Or you made a
kids will be
kid.
a gem of a
You made a kid and
human
you shouldn't have
being.
made a kid, Rose Quartz.
Yeah.
We
You
should
made a
be
kid and
all just
like should have solved all the problems first before making kid. I
so
don't know.
rude.
Like end the war, then make kid. Don't make kid middle war, have to deal with all the war that you left. Why? So
Yeah.
rude.
Yeah, I do really wish Pink
no one has to be alive.
Come back in some capacity. Yeah. 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 All right. Well, bye.